This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, big guy. I got you. Sharp Money, as we welcome you back here. Free agency, 1 hour and counting NBA. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. We bring in part of the family, VSiN host, professional handicapper, racingdudes.com. Of course, Mike Somich joins us. So we were talking about what America's most famous for. Of course, I said hot dogs. Dustin said strip clubs, but he's eating a hot. Look at the shtick. Like, seriously, could he try harder? He's eating a hot dog from the hot dog cart to celebrate America. Amal Shaw, Mike Somich, you both are up next. What's America most famous for? I'm putting you both on the spot. Go ahead.
For me, for being the greatest country in the world.
Okay. All right. Inventions, I'm thinking. I said hot dogs. He said strip clubs. America being the greatest is Amal's. How about you, Somich?
Man, it's a tough one. I want to go something like the national pastime and say baseball or something like that. But I'll say arrogance. I mean, we are known for being arrogant, and you're going over to France and you're going to feel it. I'm telling you.
Okay. I think you're onto something there. Big guy, you want to explain your shtick? I'll give you the platform to do so. Go ahead.
You mentioned hot dogs. We're going to have the contest on Tuesday, by the way, the hot dog eating contest. So I just went over there, best deal in America, get a hot dog for $1.50 at the South Point, decided to eat one. They're still delicious, by the way. I'm literally drooling eating it. You can hear me getting fatter on this show.
Is it stuck in your gullet?
No,
okay.
Here's the thing about a hot dog is I have to be careful because I looked up in the DraftKings corporate policy. It's against HR policy to make eye contact with a coworker while eating a hot dog.
I'm shocked you're able to get a hot dog during the break. That's like the busiest hot dog cart in America.
Believe me, I've been thinking about this, and I happened to go out there just now, and the line was very short, and I was able to go. Normally, that is a tough wait here. People wait less time for Taylor Swift tickets than they do for a hot dog.
This is pressed. Like, what did you put on it? Is it mustard and ketchup, relish? What's up?
I got two because you can't just eat one hot dog. Got one ketchup, mustard, and relish, and the other one is sauerkraut and mustard.
Isn't Somich no condiments?
Yeah, relish or nothing there. It's just because relish technically not a condiment. It's cut up pickles. I can handle that. But yeah, relish or nothing on the hot dogs.
You gotta have the
no
ketchup.
No mustard.
No mustard. Okay. No ketchup. If I had my way, I would put a nice slice of dill pickle right next to that hot dog. Maybe a little bit of cheddar cheese on top, like a nice little piece of cheddar, and have it just like that. Be good to go.
Big guy's going ham sandwich
it's
on that
delicious.
Hot dog. That last bite was legitimate.
I'm telling you, like a Chicago hot dog is my favorite though. They have the best hot dogs with all the stuff on it. Oh, tremendous.
Portillo's, great hot dog spot in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I've actually had that. Is that Joey Chestnut cat still eating hot dogs in the contest?
Yeah, but it's not fair. Like, he's just so much better than everyone else. Like, it's just a joke at this point.
Well, I'm sure other countries watch the hot
dog
eating contest and
everyone.
Think America is like, you know what? Screw everybody else. Yes, we have a hot dog eating contest in Coney Island, New York. I've been there. It's quite a scene. When you go to the hot dog eating contest, the people you see there it's a horror scene, man. Anyway, well, let's quickly do this because we still have 7 minutes until first pitch. You may have heard us discussing Padres, the Friars at the Reds here. America's team, the Reds are +120. Look, Ashcraft's been terrible and Lugo's been pretty good his last two out, but you like the Reds catching 120 here.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm out on this Padres team. I don't know why they're still getting priced in this market as a good team. And then that's kind of what this represents. You've got two starters, neither of which I think is very good. And you got a better offense in Cincinnati who's playing at home against a team that just got swept by the Pirates. And we're going to be catching plus money. I'll just take a shot here with the +120 in the Reds. I think they're better. Baseball is a lot about just how you're feeling in the clubhouse a lot of times. And you see these teams get hot and just catch momentum. And this is a perfect example of one team that has no interest in playing baseball in the Padres and another that loves playing baseball with each other in the Reds. So that's always going to be the team I'm kind of gravitating toward. And Patrick, to answer your question earlier, what's the Padres guy's name you were just talking about?
Lugo.
Seth Lugo?
No,
Machado.
Oh,
Machado.
Machado. Okay.
The reason Machado can peacock all the time is because he doesn't run to first base. He's lazy as heck. That's the whole team is lazy. It's the same thing with Soto. It's the same thing with everybody else. They don't try on the base pass.
He's 100% right. Machado has reached that part of his career where he's chosen efficiency over, like, every movement. It feels as though he's giving the least amount that he can get by with. Do you guys know what I'm saying? The Padres team, Bob Melvin, the Padres fans are just going nuts because he can't manage a bullpen. Bob Melvin didn't just forget how to manage a bullpen and run a team. There's something amiss with the chemistry on this team. And a lot of it has to do with the guy that's paid more than anybody in Machado, Amal, as Samish just mentioned, kind of just loafing nonstop.
Well, Mike's right. You see this all the time with Manny. Ground balls hit the shortstop. I mean, he might have gotten 65 feet down the line by the time the ball is being thrown around back around the horn. I mean, it's really unbelievable. He's an incredible talent. You know, probably over the last decade, the second best third baseman in baseball for my money behind Nolan Arenado. But overall, his numbers are very similar to Bryce Harper career-wise, but I don't think people look at him on the same plane. They both have, I think, around this comparable hitting average and home runs, but you guys are absolutely right. And one other thing, I want to go back to what Mike brought up the point. It's an excellent one. He talked about the price in the Padres right now, minus 130. And until this change is made, you've got to start going against this team. There's not going to be that many opportunities once you get to August and September, but they're still a favorite on a 5-game losing streak, 2-8 in their last 10 games against a Reds team that over the last 30 days has played incredible baseball. I'm not saying the Padres can't win today, but what in the Padres gives you confidence aside from the fact that Graham Ashcraft's on the bump?
Well, we've talked about the mispricing of the pot. There's two teams that have continued to be mispriced. And Dustin, plug your ears with a hot dog. The Padres and the punk ass Mets. That's it. Those are the two teams that I just keep on looking up, expecting there to be an adjustment. And Dustin, what a listless performance from your Mets yesterday at home against the Brewers. Yikes.
That's why I bet against them. They're unbettable until further notice. You cannot place a bet on the Mets. You can do like I'm doing and Samich is doing tonight, though, and get a nice little price on the Giants. I know Samich is going run line. I'm just going to lay $1.30, and I'm just going to count that money because there's no way this Mets lineup gets to Alex Cobb because, as you mentioned, Patrick, if they're not going to hit and out-hit Milwaukee of all teams, they're not out-hitting anybody.
Good at bat by Marte with the bases loaded at the end of the game.
Did you see the woman in the stands? Did you see her yelling at him?
No.
A random woman in the stands is just yelling, "Stop swinging at everything."
She did? I was yelling the same. He swung at 3 straight pitches and missed every single one.
I think she said you don't have to swing at everything or something like that.
So you're going to lay the run and a half with the Giants here, Samich.
Yeah, I am. Look, Carrasco's on the mound for the Mets. He has been atrocious the last few starts. This Mets team, another team that just is finding ways to lose. You've got the owner coming out and have a press conference about how they're going to try and figure out how to turn this around. And nothing has gone right for this team. You've got so many bad contracts in there. You've got this older pitching staff that's just not performing. They just are struggling. And the Giants, on the other hand, it seems like every 4 years, we see one of these giant seasons where everything kind of goes right. Everyone's able to hit. You have these runs. They won 11 straight before this last stretch here where they played good baseball as well. Now you get Cobb back on the hill. He's coming off the DL here. I think he pitches well against this Mets lineup, which isn't hitting the ball at all. And Carrasco, which has given up runs in bunches. I looked at taking just the regular line, but I'd rather take the plus money here. So I laid the 1.5 and got plus 135 on it.
I think Mike makes several great points here, but let me give Dustin one positive. The Mets have played 81 games. They've got 45 home games remaining.
So they can just disappoint their fans more.
Can I give you one more mispriced team? The St. Louis Cardinals are still wildly mispriced right now. They're getting way overbet compared to the market. Even to win the division, they're still getting overbet compared to what they should. They just came off a 3-game set with Houston, where I bet Houston in every single game because I thought it was mispriced on the Houston St. Louis side. And it's because the Cardinals are still taking money.
Mike, you must have been nervous in that game last night.
I played run line. I played first 5 run line. I played full game money line. That was a fun game.
Confirmation bias can kill a better. And I do think you see it, especially the long baseball season like the Samich. Teams like the Cardinals, one, they're in a bad division, but just whatever your expectations were before the season, you just keep doubling down. And the same with the Padres. Here's what I would encourage you to do. And I don't expect everybody to be watching every team constantly, but if you settle in for a series and watch the Padres, you'll never bet them again. That's what I would say. And I think I haven't watched the Cardinals as much, to be fair, Samich. I'll start with you here. I haven't watched them enough. I know there seems to be some weird vibes with the team, with the manager. So again, sometimes watching a team over a series, over a weekend, can really help you get a vibe for where they're at.
Yeah, they're not playing Cardinals baseball, which you always hear about, right? Where it's this clean style of baseball, move runners over, making the smart play. They're just not getting that type of effort from the team. And on top of that, it's the pitching staff that they're all older arms again. Like Wainwright was on the mound yesterday. He got absolutely shelled again. You've got Montgomery, who hasn't been pitching very well. Flaherty, all these guys that have name recognition that aren't living up to their stat line. And when you have a name like the Cardinals with name recognition pitchers, and you've got guys like Goldschmidt, who are on the team, who are going to be all-stars and MVP candidates, you're going to see that team consistently get bet in the market, even when they stink. And right now they stink and they're still getting bet.
Mike, is Adam Wainwright a fade the rest of the way?
Until he goes on the DL, which I'm guessing is going to happen in the next two or three starts.
We got a minute. We'll come back and do more baseball. Are you hearing anything? Dustin killing that hot dog, number two. Are you hearing anything, Samich, with NBA and free agency? Just anything buzzing?
I think a lot of what Houston does is going to be the big thing here, because them offering a lot of money and short year contracts to quite a few people and how they decide to round out this team is going to be huge. Brooke Lopez, I think, is going to be really interesting. I heard Houston. I heard San Antonio, which I thought would be really interesting next to Wembanyama. And then obviously heading back to the Bucks. He's going to be a big piece in this process.
So when you grab the girls and go hop into a pool you shouldn't be at, and you get a hamburger, do you eat the hamburger dry as well?
Hamburger? No, just pickles, man. Just pickles and cheese.
pickles and nothing else. Samich, you're a gem. We're back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, I'll just say this to you, Samich. I've got a very relaxing Friday evening coming up, easing into a nice couple of weeks here. So if you find a pick four, pick five later tonight on some of these smaller tracks, horse racing wise, hit me up. As we welcome you back here, Sharp Money, I'm talking to Mike Samich, of course, VSIN host, professional handicapper, racingdudes.com, the big guy. Did you finish the two hot dogs? Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, of course. Did you finish your two dogs?
Oh, yeah. I got them down.
Congratulations.
We'll see how I feel in about 10 minutes as the poison leaves the hot dogs and enters the rest of my body.
What is this you sent us about Brett McMurphy in college football? Do you want to just tell me?
Yeah, it looks like San Diego State is no longer a part of the Mountain West, and they're going to be joining the Pac-12.
Wasn't that known, or is this something
they're making it official?
Confirmation. Okay.
The question is the Pac-12 going to be around?
Yeah, that is it's a valid question. All right. So San Diego State, good program.
Sorry. I'm misreporting it. They are the Pac-12's number one target, but the Pac-12's not adding any schools until the media rights deal is completed, and that's weeks away. Okay. So the goal is them to eventually go to the Pac-12.
Well, two hot dogs will mess up the reporting every Friday.
Let's find out what
heading into a weekend. You know this. Let's go D-backs. You're taking a bunch of plus prices today. We mentioned the Reds, who are underway. We'll keep you updated there. Let's go with Arizona. Arizona is an interesting spot because, you know, it's interesting, Samich. Obviously, the kids are playing well. They run nonstop. Offense is great. A starting rotation. And now we've just lost, Merrill Kelly to a blood clot. And Fott got absolutely rocked yesterday. I think they're going to mess with that kid's head.
Yeah, the pitching staff here is a big issue. If you're the Diamondbacks, you've got to figure out what you can do with the deadline to try and add some arms. That division lead is shrinking quickly. The Dodgers are right in their windshield mirror right now. So I'm expecting the Dodgers to make a run here. The D-backs have to add pitching, but tonight I think this is a good setup for them. They're going into taking on the Angels. The Angels, not a great team with the bats. Obviously got Shohei Ohtani, but there's not much behind him and Trout. Henry's on the mound for the D-backs. He's someone who I think is going to be able to turn the corner a little bit here in the next few starts. So he's someone I've been looking to play on. Canning on the mound for the Angels here. He's someone I've been looking to play against. I like the plus 138 here with what I think is the better lineup and about even matchup on the mound.
Yeah, Patrick, I was surprised at how high this number was in favor of the Angels. I just don't get it. Griffin Canning, initially I saw a high number as high as 155, now down to 148, as Mike alluded to. doesn't make that much sense to me. And this Angels team, I think this is going to be one, Mike, you could potentially look at fading guys down the stretch, especially if they decide to make a move on Shohei.
Yeah, any pitcher they're throwing out to the bump right now that's not Shohei Ohtani, I'm willing to play against if I'm getting a plus price on, because this is not a good lineup. And even when you saw them against the Rockies a couple series back, the Rockies getting plus 200 type numbers against some pitchers not named Shohei, those are spots where I'm just going to be taking the opponent almost blindly in that situation, because they just don't produce enough runs to consistently make up for the issues they have on the mound.
Angels stink. Totally agree. Anything on that one, big guy? Did you bet it?
No, I thought about maybe the Angels team total, but it was set at 5, so I laid off of it there. Griffin Canning's had a couple good starts, but you got to look at who he's playing. He faced Colorado and Kansas City. And on the other side, Tommy Henry, I think he may be better than we think, but again, you look at who he's beaten. He beat the likes of Washington and Cleveland, two really inept offenses. Ultimately, they ended up staying away. Also, don't know Corbin Carroll's status at the moment. He was day-to-day with a shoulder injury yesterday. Let's see if he plays. Obviously, one player in baseball doesn't make that big of a difference, but he's just such a catalyst for everything they do offensively. I ultimately decided to not bet this game.
We were having that, you and I were having that discussion on my morning walk yesterday. And Samich and Amal, I want to get your take. We can talk, and I know you've got a couple of division prices we're going to talk about in the NFL coming up, and our betting guide is awesome. But you talk nonstop, like Amal, if we talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, you go on and on, you know, defensively up front, offensively up front, skill. But it comes down to Joe Burrow, literally somebody falling on his ankle. Then all of a sudden you're talking in a different way about the Cincinnati Bengals. Somebody like losing two starters with Tampa Bay, or Alcantara not having a year and all of a sudden his team picking him up. That's what's different with baseball. Your team can pick you up over 162 as opposed to just the importance, Amal, of the quarterback.
I think it's an excellent point. Baseball and hockey are two sports you can overcome an injury to a critical player. We saw it with the Knights in terms of their goaltending situation. Baseball, we mentioned it with Acuna being out when the Braves won the World Series a couple of years ago, no problem there. But in football, if you lose a Mahomes, a Burrow, one of these guys, season's over. You're just sitting there saying, hey, we're going to basically go into tank mode. It becomes very difficult. You know, you might get a good performance out of a Chad Henne for one game, but the reality of it is when you get down to it, it's going to be hard for those guys to really be able to carry you. And I think that's a crucial point when you look at making some of these wagers.
Anything on that, Samich?
I think you guys hit the nail on the head. It's one of the reasons why some of these long-term season-wide wagers are tough to make, because win totals change so drastically with one injury in the NFL. It's the injury or the league that you're most likely to see that one key injury in on top of it. So it's one of the reasons I don't bet a ton of the over-unders, although I do like a couple.
Okay, we'll get to those now. A team in the Orioles where the Reds went to Baltimore and took 2 of 3. And that was huge for the Reds. Because remember, they had just lost 2 of 3 to the Braves. So kind of a tough spot there for the Reds going to Baltimore. Played well, took 2 of 3. I think this is exactly what you want. Minnesota's coming to town with that inept offense. And it's not a terrible price. $1.10 right now on the Orioles. And you like the Orioles tonight.
Yeah, I do. I like the Orioles here. I like Kramer on the mound. He's a good pitcher. He has one bugaboo. He likes to give up home runs. But this is a Minnesota Twins team that's 21st in the majors hitting against right-handed pitchers. I think he's going to be able to mow this lineup down. We've got Lopez on the mound for Minnesota today. He's 3-5 with a plus four ERA. I like the offense on the Orioles side more here. I like the pitching matchup for the Orioles. And you hit the nail on the head, Patrick. Like, this is a bad offense in Minnesota. This is a team that just cannot score. They've struggled to score for the last 2 weeks consistently. They don't move base runners along. They don't get a ton of base runners on in general against righties. So I'm going to go with Kramer today and go with the Orioles and lay the 110.
And the big guy also on the O's.
Yeah, Pablo Lopez, last 5 starts, 30 innings, a 5.04 ERA. He's Woof. Really, really been rough lately. Also, this offense stinks already, but this is the third series of this road trip. Started at Detroit, went to Atlanta, now going to Baltimore, and it has not gone right for them of late. Obviously, you guys mentioned the 3 games in Atlanta, lost one to Detroit, which Detroit's a horrible team. No offense, Patrick. Now they're going to face Baltimore, who can mash with anyone. The problem when you play the Orioles is if it's a high-scoring game, I'm always going to lean with the Orioles. If you think that both teams are going to score and hit the pitchers, trust me, Baltimore's probably going to score more. I'm back in the Orioles with Dean Kramer, who's been a lot better this year than I ever thought he would be.
Dean, Dean Kramer sounds like definitely your principal in second grade.
That's so true.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go see Mr. Kramer, and it's going to be an issue for everybody. Well, anything on that one, Amal, before we get off it?
Not on the game, but I want to ask you guys about the division right now. Guardians lose today. They get blown out in Chicago. The White Sox are currently 5 back in the loss column, 6 behind Cleveland, but they're 11-1 to win the division. I mean, isn't this an outside possibility? It's not like the Guardians can score with any kind of consistency. That we just talked about the ineptitude of the Minnesota offense. Mike, would this be a possible shot at White Sox here at 11-1? I mean, it's not. Look, they're not a great team. We know that. But I mean, this not this division is bad.
I could be talked into it, Amal. I was a sucker for the White Sox before this season. I played their overseason win total. I like the lineup. I like Jimenez when he's healthy, but he's had trouble staying healthy. You've got a good enough starting rotation if they're able to figure it out. I mean, Cease is good at the top end there. Lance Lynn's been getting hammered, but if he figures it out and they start to get a couple better pitching efforts from that staff, 11-1 isn't a crazy price. I like taking shots on big teams in these bad divisions or big prices in these bad divisions. The Reds, I know we talked about them to death here a couple weeks ago when they were up at 30-1. Why not take a shot in that division? This to me would be the other division you take a shot in. You look at the other four divisions in Major League Baseball, they're pretty clearly, you know, either one team or 1A and 1B teams in those spots. And you really can't go any deeper than that. You could make a logical case for almost any team in either of the central divisions.
Absolutely would take a shot with the White Sox. I've watched enough of the Twins to be completely out on them, big guy. I know you're going to double down on your White Sox because before the season started, he liked them as well. Look, if we're being honest, in my estimation, I think the Twins right now are favored in division. The Guardians should run away and hide with that division, but I would take a shot to Amal's question, Dustin, on the White Sox.
Look, I think Amal brings up a really interesting number just because, look, you got to be ahead of the potential hot streak.
Yeah.
They could go on a run here, and these other teams can either stay put or falter a little bit, and all of a sudden the White Sox are looking up and they're in first place. I think if we went around baseball and every single team in baseball, if their roster played to their full potential, the Chicago White Sox would always be a playoff team. They would always be one of the better teams in baseball. Maybe not the level of an Atlanta or Toronto or Tampa, someone like that, but they would be a playoff team. So if they can somehow find a little bit of what they're capable of being, they can absolutely be in the mix here in the AL Central.
If you're going to make this bet, make it today. They got a 3-game set against Oakland. The Guardians are in Chicago, and the Twins are in Baltimore, and none of us would be surprised if Baltimore wins all three this weekend.
Nope. Totally agree. It's a good one. Okay, when we return, two division plays, NFL style from Samich, plus he likes two season win totals, one over, one surprising under. And then after that, we've got the big guy's top 10 to close the week. Sharp Money, shout to America.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, if you have $5 to bet, we'll hook you up with $150. All you have to do is go to DraftKings, download the DraftKings app, and when you do, use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. $5 to get $150. It's a pretty good deal. We're going to give you that to celebrate America this weekend. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, it's Friday here on Chart Money. That means it's time for Samich. Mike Samich, professional handicapper, VSIN host. We say, what's up to Samich? Okay, so here's the thing. We've got the NFL guide out, VSIN.com/subscribe. The reviews have been off the charts. I encourage you all to check them out. So let's go to the NFL. You know what? I'm going to start with your over-unders here. I'm going to start with your season win totals. You like the Broncos. We were talking about the Broncos. As far as variance, I'm not sure you can find a team that has more variance in the Broncos this year. Like, it comes down to three factors. And I know this sounds cliche. Peyton, Wilson, and health. Everybody was injured on this Broncos team last year, but you do like them over the 8.5, Samich.
Yeah, I do. I mean, we kind of saw a case study of what happens when you go from an atrocious coach to a very good head coach with what happened in New York last year. We saw Daboll come in there and completely change that franchise. Really similar situation here. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett, probably one of the five worst coaches I've ever seen out on sidelines in NFL history, since I started watching at least. And now we've got Peyton coming in here, who's a Hall of Famer, with a quarterback that cannot possibly play worse than last year. And they only need to improve here by four games to be able to hit this win total over. On top of that, the schedule is significantly weaker. You're getting a fourth place schedule here. So they're going to be able to play teams that are much easier to beat. The start of the season looks great to me. You start with Raiders, then Commanders. We'll talk about the Dolphins in a second, then Bears, and then Jets right after that. You got four very winnable games right out of the gate. And then after you get past the Bills game, the back half of this schedule is very easy as well. You've got the Browns, the Texans, you've got the Chargers, the Lions, the Patriots, and the Raiders to end the season. They should be able to get to that 9 or 10 win range rather easily here and fly over this 8.5 total.
I like the point you made in terms of they got to improve on the season from last year by four games, because last year they played a more challenging schedule, a fourth place schedule this year. But you mentioned Russell Wilson. Patrick, I want to get your take on this as well. I'm not convinced he's going to return to even a competent level. That's my one concern, Mike, when I look at this Broncos team. To me, if Russell Wilson could return to what he was in Seattle, this team, the sky's the limit. But where do you see him kind of being this year, even with Sean Payton?
I don't think he's going to be Seattle Russell Wilson, but I think he's going to be about one or two steps below that, not 9 or 10 steps back. And that is really how drastic that drop off was. And when you go back and you watch the film from last year of how they lost some of these games and the situations that Russell Wilson was put in by the offensive coaching staff, they were atrocious. They didn't play to his strengths. They didn't set him up to succeed. They set him up to fail by having him throw late over the middle, having these just specific route trees that were awful for his specific talent set. You're not going to see the same thing here from Payton. You had someone who came from being the coordinator for Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' skill set and trying to implement that offense with Russell Wilson. They have completely opposite skill sets. Russell Wilson does not have the same arm that Aaron Rodgers has. He's not able to control at the line of scrimmage like Aaron Rodgers does. He wants to play backyard football, scramble around, be able to throw the football, and they didn't give him the chance to do that. I think you're going to see the difference in a coach playing to someone's strengths versus a coach playing to his own strengths when you see what Peyton's able to do with Wilson.
Denver Broncos were 5-12 last year. Quietly, the defense was really good, really good. And then so optimal scenario for the Broncos this year, the offensive line, they add McGlinchey as a tackle. The offensive line is good enough. Javonte Williams is back from injury. Samaje Perine to complement him. So complimentary run game to help out Wilson. That completion percentage and athleticism has dropped precipitously over the last 2 years for Wilson, but Peyton can work wonders. Peyton's never had an offense out of the top 12 in his many, many years as a head coach. The wide receivers need to stay healthy. Sutton, Judy, and Patrick. That's a pretty good threesome if they stay healthy. Again, the defense duplicates what they did last year. You could see 10 wins. It's not crazy. It's not out of question because you do just start with a great base in the defense. They lost their defensive coordinator, but Vance Joseph is a guy that's run defenses. We know it. He's been a head coach in Denver before. So again, I think there's a lot of variance. It's might be the highest variance team in 2023. Ceiling could be really good, but the floor, again, it all comes back to Wilson. Is he the guy? Again, what concerns me and all is the completion percentage. It's not necessarily the drop in athleticism. A great coach like Peyton can work around that. He just didn't look like an accurate quarterback last year.
You know, Patrick, you brought up a great point. You had a great line about Fitzmagic where he goes, it was YOLO with the football. I think Russell Wilson at times over the middle was like that.
YOLO ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he threw up some YOLO balls and also the vibes. But here's the thing, when you're dealing with a narcissist, and that's exactly what, no offense to Wilson, I'm sure he's a good person, whatever. He's narcissistic. So when you're dealing with somebody like that, that just gets crushed last year and dragged through social media, that narcissism's going to pop and be like, dude, I need to prove everybody wrong. I like the combination of him and Peyton. I think it's a little weird they're hanging out on the wood at the basketball games because Peyton likes his attention too. But at least for a year, I think they're going to pop. Okay, let's. A lot on the Broncos. Let's do this. I want to get to your other one because I said maybe a surprising team from Samich here. And I think some may be surprised that you're going under with the Miami Dolphins, 9.5.
Yeah, so it's a little frustrating for me because it's my favorite team. I watch them all the time. Unfortunately, I watch them all the time. And if you watch this team last year, it felt kind of fluky at a lot of times that they were able to get some wins. And last year's schedule was a very, very easy schedule. Ended up going 9-8 last year. They only won two games against playoff teams in that whole year. Those two games were at home against Buffalo, where they won 21-19 in a game that Buffalo absolutely dominated. And Miami's defense continually was able to hold up inside the red zone. The other game was against the Ravens when they were down 14 late in the fourth quarter. We all remember that game from week two, where it was just back and forth late in that game. It's only two times they were able to beat a playoff team all season long. This year, the waters get a lot deeper with this schedule. And if you're pretty much running back everybody, the defense should be good, but Xavien Howard took a wild step backward last year. I'm not sure that you still get, you know, Jalen Ramsey out there to be a top tier cornerback as well. I don't think the defense is going to be able to live up to it, specifically the pass defense. The division around you got a lot better. Your schedule got a lot harder. And the assumption here is that you're going to be able to repeat that same season as last year, going 9-8. And we have to improve that. I'm sorry. You have to go 10-7 here. And Tua's question mark still to me. I don't think he's the guy. I think he can be an effective NFL quarterback, but he is not one of those top tier NFL quarterbacks. And you have the injury issues. 10 wins is asking a lot from this Dolphins team.
I love everything Mike just said about the Miami Dolphins. I'm in complete agreement. I didn't understand the affinity that so many people have. You mentioned the schedule. Real quick, guys, when you look at the road games, at the Chargers, at the Pats, at Buffalo, at Philadelphia, at Kansas City, at the Jets. Now, they do have one at Washington, but at Baltimore as well. Look, it's one thing to be able to win a game or two on the road, but this team could potentially be looking at a 2-6 road record this year. It's not going to be easy to navigate some of these games.
The Bills are 120 in division. The Jets are plus 270. Your third betting favorite, the Dolphins at 3-1. We're not dealing with a wrist. We're not dealing with a knee. We're dealing with Tua's dome piece. And there were legit conversations. When I say his head, there were legit conversations about shutting him down this offseason. If anything happens with the concussed situation there with Tua, it could get ugly. And you only worry about his long-term health. So I don't hate that. And good information about what they did against good teams last year. You got anything on the Dolphins, big guy?
I am the opposite of both of them. I like taking risks, and I love what they're building offensively. I love Mike McDaniel. The defense has to be better than it was a year ago, and I think it has a chance to be with a full year of Bradley Chubb there, adding Jalen Ramsey to the mix. I have a 32 or 33-1 ticket on them to win the Super Bowl, something around there. And I actually believe in the Dolphins more than I believe in the Jets.
Some would say you took a mid-show risk with those two hot dogs.
Kind of feeling it, right, if I'm going to be totally honest. And the energy has kind of been zapped from those hot dogs.
Where are you guys on Jalen Ramsey at this point in time? To me, he feels more name than actual player.
That's what a lot of this Dolphins defense feels like to me. It's the same with Xavien Howard on the other side. It's the same with Bradley Chubb. These are names we all know, but the contribution we're seeing them, it does not match the name or the contracts that they have. That to me is the biggest issue here. He's on the downside of his career here. And I just don't think he's an elite number one corner anymore. And that's the situation Miami has in multiple places on this defense. They all need to go back to plus level players at their specific positions to be able to make this work for Miami. And I just don't see any of them as plus level players at this point.
I'm going to ask you to do this in 1 minute, just because I'm fascinated. Did you go with the Seahawks in the NFC West?
I did. I think the Seahawks are going to be phenomenal this year.
Give me a minute on it.
Yeah, the Seattle team last year I thought was good, especially early in the season. They had four defensive rookie starters last year. They all hit the wall right around the same time in week 13. You had an injured running back who's coming back. I love their draft. You add Witherspoon, you add Smith and Jigba. You now have another year with a confident quarterback back there. You've got three solid options from the wide receiver perspective. You have a nice draft from a running back perspective as well. So you've got weapons all over the place for the Seattle team. You have two terrible teams in division, both the Rams and the Cardinals, and there's huge issues from an injury perspective and a quarterback perspective in San Francisco. I think Seattle's the best team in the division and may have the most wins in the NFC this year.
Love it. You can find them 2-1. DraftKings right now plus 195. Prohibitive favorites for the 49ers at minus 160. We're coming back, closing tabs, and a great top 10 from the big guy. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
So during the break, I just got another message from a happy customer. The NFL betting guide is absolutely blowing up. We dropped it yesterday, and the reviews are awesome. Get yours introductory offer right now for $19. Again, I think today's the last day for the $175 summer special, which includes everything through the Super Bowl. So it's up to you. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. We give you options. NFL betting guide. Remember, when you sign up, you also get the plays, the picks. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, a quick shout out. Amal was DM'd by a Joseph Metz. And good job by you, Joseph, who mentioned the reason there's early pitch today there at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati is because Taylor Swift. And Taylor Swift is playing a concert tonight in Cincinnati, and she just changes everything. She's a shapeshifter. So good job, Joseph. Also, Dustin Sweetelson went out and grabbed two hot dogs from the hot dog cart there at South Point. Samich, you discovered something during the break as we welcome you back. I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Mike Samich joins us here on Sharp Money. You mentioned there's something called the Seattle hot dog. What is the Seattle hot dog?
Yeah, Chance Copperpot on Twitter has hit up Dustin and I and said, you got to try a Seattle hot dog here. It's a hot dog topped with cream cheese and sauteed onions served in a pretzel bun. Nope, can't do that. I'm out on the cream cheese and a hot dog. Not happening.
Why do you not like the cream cheese consistency? Sometimes people have a problem with consistencies of food. Is that what it is?
The condiment consistency is a big thing. The other problem with a condiment, it's a less healthy version of something that tastes good in every single situation. If you're putting ketchup on something, put a tomato on it. Just eat the tomato instead of the ketchup. Every single condiment's made from something and then made less healthy.
No, tomato byproducts taste better than tomatoes. That's why they exist. Marinara sauce, ketchup, barbecue sauce. Yeah, they taste better because the actual thing, the fruit of the tomato, stinks.
I mean, I enjoy the tomato. I don't know why you're slandering tomatoes.
No, the Seattle hot dog, though, is a no-go. You can't eat this. Like, the hot dog in and of itself is heavy. Therefore, all the accoutrements that go with it. See, I'm speaking French for your trip, Patrick. Hoping you go.
Thank you.
They have to be lighter, and they have to enhance it. They have to make it more refreshing because the hot dog, as I can attest to at this moment after eating two of them in the last hour, it sits like a brick.
So just to clarify, the Seattle hot dog is a pretzel bun with sauteed onions and cream cheese, correct?
Everything about it is wrong. The bun is too heavy. The sauteed onions are just overwhelming flavor, and the cream cheese is just going to make everything.
So somewhere, Eddie Vedder is watching Sharp Money eating a cream cheese hot dog, pissed off at us right now because we're killing the Seattle hot dogs. Okay. And by the way, how's your energy? You said it was Bailey zapped after the two hot dogs. Are you doing okay?
Oh, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to be totally real. I could take a nap right here in this studio, which good job, Amal. You haven't today.
he had a cream cheese hot dog. His energy's all up there. Okay, so before you sleep, let's finish up your Dustin's top 10 guilty pleasure. Now, if I'm being honest, I've had a hard time with this list because a lot of it's made me squeamish. Like, for example, Dustin likes to hop on YouTube and watch ear cleaning videos. That makes me feel weird. The blackhead removal is like nails on a chalkboard to me, so that freaked me out as well. But we're now down to four through one, and we'll get everybody's reaction. Go ahead with number four.
Number four, I'm going to see my barber today. Shout out to Larry. Barber videos.
Better bring a Brinks truck.
No, don't worry. He's getting a nice little number from me. Barber, I think it is an art form to watch a talented barber do a fade, cut a hair, line up a beard, the way they do it, because I've tried to use a straight razor. Anytime I come up here for the show and my face is red and there's cuts in it, it's because I tried to use the straight razor that day and I botched it. It is a difficult thing to do, and I think talented barbers deserve the money they get, although, Larry, I could use a discount. I'm being totally honest.
Okay, I would say none of us have watched barber videos, but let's get 3, 2, 1 because these are very interesting. Hoof shaving is an interesting place to start.
These hoof shaving videos, these farmers, because like you got to think about it. The hoof is like the toenail for a cow, and they will put the cow's foot up. They get like issues with them. They chip off, and they get infected. They have to clean them, and they have to shave them down. There's something about the noise and the device they use to just shave down the hoof. I don't know what it is, but I become tranced watching it.
Samich, you're a horse guy. Do you ever get caught down a rabbit hole of hoof shaving?
I'm not caught down a rabbit hole. I have seen the videos he's talking about, and they actually are pretty interesting because they have to take like layer by layer of the hoof off. It almost looks like truffles when it comes off. It's like this thin layer. So I'm not going to be totally against this one. I've never actually like searched for it, but I have seen the video.
Just a quick update. It appears that Mr. Ashcraft and Seth Lugo are Randy Johnson and Pedro Martinez because we're bottom three and it's scoreless. Just when we expected that total of 11 to be threatened. Okay, I will admit, number two on your list, I have found myself watching these and they're fascinating. Go ahead, Big.
There are some talented chiropractors out there that do crazy work. I don't like the plug and play ones where you walk in, they snap your neck, they do a couple pops in the back and you get out of there. I'm talking about the ones that do the deep work, that go through your whole body and they'll be digging into these people and you can see the pain on their face while it's happening, and somehow I feel it on my end through the video and it makes me feel relaxed. Like, I hurt my neck the other day, it is killing me, and if I watch someone get their neck worked on a bunch, somehow it makes me feel a little bit better in the end. I don't know how it works, I don't know what the theory is behind it, but I'm telling you, it is a thing, and watching chiropractors just crack people up is so incredible.
I've done it. I've fallen down the rabbit hole. I'll admit it. Have you two watched any of the chiropractic adjustments, Samich?
No, not. I mean, I've got adjusted a couple times, and it didn't seem that exciting when it was happening to me, so I'm not really sure why you'd want to go then watch videos of it.
I have not seen it, but it feels good when you get an adjustment.
Okay. And finally, we end on, shockingly, a disgusting one.
No.
That is going to make me, this is going to be hard to listen to. Your number one guilty pleasure video is what, Dustin?
The work it takes to get an ingrown toenail out. And I'm talking about professional people doing it with professional tools, to watch them do the work where they have to do so much cutting and maneuvering, and there's all these little details to go in, and then eventually at the end of the video you see them just yank this thing out that was digging into the sidewall of someone's toe. The satisfaction I can feel on my end, oh my god, it is amazing. And like, it is like a religious experience. It is my favorite thing to watch. I can't stop watching them. And all of my algorithms know. Every time I open up Instagram Reels, Facebook, whatever their real thing is called, TikTok, YouTube, immediately just ingrown toenails being cut out.
Ugh. I'm out.
No comment.
Hard pass.
I'm out.
How are there no animal videos on here? Like, do you not like animals, Dustin? Everyone that watches animal videos.
He's not a big animal guy.
I love animals, but I have PTSD. I used to do the morning show here and Follow the Money, and they do a lot of dog videos, and there was a good chunk for a year where all I was getting was dog videos because I was doing research for that show. And after that, from a personal level, the dog videos stopped becoming fun, and they started to become work.
Okay, so you're out on dogs is what you're saying.
No, I like dogs. I just don't want to watch other people's dogs.
All right. Well, that list was disgusting. Thank you, Dustin. Let's close some tabs before. Just a quick update. The Reds did have a runner on second. It's a 3-2 count with two out, bottom three. Let's hope we plate this because the show, as a family, betting on the Reds. Anybody got an update?
Yes, because innings over.
Okay, inning over. We're going to the top of the fourth, scoreless, just as we predicted before the game started. Let's close some tabs, big guy.
You mentioned Taylor Swift. Does anyone here have a favorite Taylor Swift song? I have one that I...
All of them? I'm a big-time Swiftie.
Like, you really know all of her songs? Because I only know a few, and I kind of want to get into her more.
Dude, just pick an album and listen to it. They're all bops.
I think Love Story is an all-time song.
I mean, that's her original hit. That slaps.
Like, Romeo, take me.
Wait, hold on. Samich and Shaw, are you guys not going to admit that you like Taylor Swift?
No, I do. I just don't
universal.
Know. No, I don't know the song's names. Oh, yeah, I like her music.
Samich?
Yeah, big Taylor Swift fan. I actually almost saw her in concert in Vegas, but my wife would have killed me had I gone without her. I definitely have sung to some Taylor Swift songs in the car, not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. Like, she just knows how to write a hook. They're all catchy. It's amazing. All right, what's next, big guy?
You got to win a few bets, though, to afford those tickets these days.
That's legit.
It costs like a Mercedes. We keep using the phrase albatross. I don't understand why we use it to describe things that are like out of the ordinary or bad or whatever it is, because an albatross is just a bird.
It's a large, ominous bird with a huge wingspan.
But it's a bird. By the way, birds freak me out. Birds are scary, right? We all agree, like, birds are scary.
Of course. You should watch some bird videos and add it to your next list.
No.
Next.
I don't trust them.
Yeah, hates animals. Proven.
Tyrese Maxey was born in the year 2000. Your depressing moment to end the week.
Okay.
Patrick, fellas, have a great vacation.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. I'll see you in just a little bit. Dustin Sweetelson, Mike Somich, and, of course, Amal Shah. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate you. See you next time here on Sharp Money.
Bonjour.